Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin D, Dignity, with guest Ron Garcia, episode 33.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi there. It's us.
Hi.
It's Dee, also known as the Fluffer. We just got her to stop fluffing before I turned the mic on.
Do you always have to give my faults out on the air?
No, that's not a fault. It's one of the delightful things about you. Even your children tease about it, don't they?
Yes, they do.
All right. Well, welcome to Catholic Vitamins. Our show today is on a topic that I hope will open your mind a little bit to an enlarged view of what vitamin D?
Dignity D.
Yeah. So I was thinking before I started preparing and going to the catechism and other places, I was thinking I had sort of a solid idea about dignity and what to open with and talk about, but I think I'm going to add a lot of things for us to consider. We'll do that a little bit later after D and I do a little bit of front-end work. D.
Yes.
We had a date day.
Yes. Yes, we had a date day.
Isn't that nice that we do that? Huh?
I think instead of being every week, it's stretching out into months sometimes.
Yeah, I know,
it's
I think.
Well, those out there who have been paying any attention to us probably know about the date day we had about a month ago, because we posted it on Facebook about how you bought me four new tires for my car.
Well,
I'm here to tell you folks that we had another date day just this past week. And guess what? We had those tires aligned.
Well, Dee, I think people will say he must really be married. No, he must really love you.
Well, actually, somebody on Facebook did say that, didn't they? They say, well, you definitely are married. We know that for sure now.
Yeah.
Oh, I had so many posts. I did a post on Facebook about this, and I had so many. It's so funny. I mean, a few of them are just funny. Somebody said, you crazy kids better settle down.
Pretty wild, huh?
Yeah. Somebody said, gee, must have taken notes for my husband. And then she said, put a second note in and said, actually, I'm trying to figure out why there was even a second date day if you did that on the first date day.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Oh, well,
as I said before, and I want to repeat this, when we're walking around doing things on our date day, don't we hold hands?
We do.
Don't we talk to each other?
We do.
We say grace before our meals out in public.
And we have usually a nice meal out that day. And
yep.
Yes, we do. It's fun.
It is.
But I have to tease.
So do I.
I know.
Hey, I don't know if I sound very stuffed up. During the interview that we're going to play in a while, I was having some nasal problems. I'm telling you, folks, I can't tell you how long it's been since I've had allergies acting up the way they are now. And after 9 years in Colorado with hardly a sniffle or a sneeze, to be now in north central Arizona, and we weren't bothered. I wasn't bothered for the first year and a half, but it's really come on, and everybody around here is talking about it.
Actually, I'm thinking everybody across the entire country is talking about it, because I have heard comments from people in states from one coast to the other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me share something nice with our listeners, because this is a touch-the-heart sort of piece of news. It's Saturday evening. We've just finished dinner, and earlier today, Dee and I both participated in a baptism at our church. I was the deacon helping our pastor, Father Bill. Dee was a proxy. for one of the couples.
Yeah.
And here's the nice thing to tell you folks, 15, count them, 15 children and young adults were baptized this Saturday. I was deacon, and Father had me go and do all of the anointing. There's a couple anointings that take place during the baptism. And there's one family that we're very, very close with, and they have a new daughter. Her name, Dee?
Nellie May. Nice old-fashioned name. I just love it.
Absolutely.
My mother's name is Nellie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I baptized Nellie May in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and she was sweet and quiet. I don't think she cried any.
She didn't. There was one other small baby, and that baby did cry a few times, but Nellie was just perfect.
Now, here I am going to put you on the spot. This is not teasing. I was able to do the homily for the baptism, and I talked about a food. What was the food I talked about?
Rice.
R-I-C-E.
Yes.
And what were the letters standing for? She's shaking. She's violently shaking.
I can only remember the E right now. Empowerment.
Okay. The first one was R for rebirth.
Rebirth.
The children were going to be reborn into the family of Christ.
It was initiation.
Initiation. This is their initiation into the sacrament, into the church.
C.
Do you remember C?
I can't remember C.
Community.
Oh, yes, yes.
Community. And I did this asking people to give me their answers. So what would you say? It was sort of a conversational homily?
Yeah, it was. Interactive.
Yeah, yeah. So we enjoyed that. We had a wonderful, I had some chocolate cake. Yay.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
They had a reception over in the church hall afterwards, and we were going to skip that because we had been invited to go to this family's house that we're friends with. But Father Bill kind of intercepted us on the way out the door, and he thought we should go over to the church hall and make an appearance. So we went over there and we got a teeny tiny piece of cake and we split that. And then we went to our friend's house and we had some lunch and then more cake and ice cream.
Very, very nice day. Very nice time. A sunny day. And other than my allergies, which are driving me crazy, it was a blessed day. And we will, I guess, wrap up. No, wrap up, huh?
No.
What? What do you want?
I didn't want you to wrap up. So
okay.
Quickly.
What do you want to do?
I wanted to say a word about our friend, our lovely friend, our cheerleader.
Up in
Colorado.
Please.
We got another sweet note from her, Mary Lou, which we mentioned before that she's our cheerleader, and she heard us say that on a podcast.
Uh-huh.
She says, "Gosh, cheerleader status to boot." So she's going to Curves to practice her moves to be the best cheerleader ever.
She's got the shape for a cheerleader. She doesn't need to do anything. Well, thank you so much for that. And because we've run long, I'll have to condense something someplace. But we are so grateful that you're with us for Catholic Vitamins, and we'll be back. Well, as we prepare, dear, to move into our interview today, our topic is dignity. And when I first contacted our guest, I was thinking primarily about husbands and wives and the dignity owed to each other, young girls recognizing dignity inherent in their bodies and in their lives that they are called to live. And I was thinking a little bit about theology of the body. But as I began to do some research on this topic, the principle of human dignity, I found something about the Catholic perspective on dignity, that it's rooted in the concept of imago Dei, the image of God. And in Christ's redemption and in our ultimate destiny of union with God, we are gifted with great dignity. And I'm just going to briefly say that in the Catechism, there are so many areas of dignity that I hadn't thought about to share before starting my research. All members of the family are persons equal in dignity, paragraph 2203. The dignity of conjugal love, paragraph 1632. That it's contrary to human dignity to cause animals to suffer. Oh, gosh, I hadn't thought about that. Equality of dignity of God's children. Our human body, as God's image, has a dignity to it. Of love raised to dignity of a sacrament. Of man created by God, the inherent dignity in that act. The dignity of priests. You know, I'm very venerable towards priests, and I pray for them often. But in all honesty, sometimes they don't mirror the dignity they have, and sometimes we struggle to appreciate or honor the dignity that they have. There's a beautiful prayer for priests, and I will remember to post it in the blog for this show. It's a great thing to perhaps print off, and maybe you could do this during the course of the remainder of this year of the priest in the Catholic Church. Scandal and respect for the dignity of others. Unemployment as an insult to dignity. Dignity of immigrants. So, dear friends, I hope that this may call you to pray about this, to think about it, and perhaps to turn to our catechism, which has a lot to teach us in paragraphs ranging from 1487 all the way up to 2436. Well, that's it for our intro to the topic, and we'll be back with our guest. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is a young man that I found through some research that I was doing on the very subject of dignity, which is our Catholic vitamin for today. His name is Ron Garcia, and he's with the Archdiocese of St. Louis in Missouri. Ron, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Deacon Tom, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We're going to be finding out some about the Archdiocese and your work, but why don't we start by finding out some about Ron Garcia?
That sounds great. Well, I am the product of Ron and Cindy Garcia, who were from Wisconsin. I was born in Kenosha. We moved to Janesville when I was five, and grew up there, baptized Catholic, but like many people who lived through the 70s, not practicing so much at home, and I was kind of a product of that environment. Became a cop when I was 25, did that for about 11 years, and just really was, my life was really divorced from Christ and from the church for most of it, till I was about 31, and then I had a reversion back to the church. It kind of came through a real difficult time. I had been married, and that was ended very kind of poorly. I got my marriage annulled shortly after that, and but it was a really hard time for me emotionally, and through that, I really learned how to pray, and came, actually, interestingly, my mom, kind of a St. Monica, St. Augustine story. I was a very naughty boy, and I got into a lot of trouble when I was young. And even when I was a cop, I mean, I was kind of a bad boy. And my mom convinced me, after my divorce, to start praying the rosary every day. Now, I assured her that this would not make me Catholic. And but I did promise her that I would do it. I thought to myself, well, I will just do this for a month, and you know, then I can tell her how ridiculous it is, and we can move forward. And with all this, get all this nonsense out of the way. And of course, I started to pray the rosary. That led to reading the scriptures every night, and apparently Mary wants me to be Catholic. So that's sort of how that happened. And I left police work in 2005. I just felt like through prayer the Lord was calling me to something else, and moved on to youth ministry in a parish. I worked in Wanakee, Wisconsin for a little while, and then worked for the Diocese of Madison for a year. And about a year and a half ago, went through the discernment process again. I felt like, you know, the Lord was asking me to be open to something new, and I ended up here in St. Louis. So,
wow,
where I'm at today. That's the abbreviated version.
I want to say to you that anyone that knows Deacon Tom knows that one of the areas that I'm heavily into is conversion and reversion. So
yeah.
I really like hearing that, and I'm glad that you responded to God's call. And you said Mary wanted you to be a Catholic, and I believe in my heart that there's a lot of people who are waiting to have their hearts opened for Mary's prayers and others to fill their hearts and to bring them back to the faith practice. But let's move on with the Ron Garcia and dignity topics. Your title at the Archdiocese of St. Louis is Youth Coordinator. So
yeah.
can you tell us what that is about?
Yeah, well, there are four of us in the office here, Roseanne, Tom, and Father Brian is the director of the office. It's a pretty busy and hectic schedule. We do about six or seven major events a year. We do a youth, a retreat for youth ministers. We have 2 weeks of Steubenville that we do, our office does here in July. That sold out, I think, in like 20 minutes or something this year. I mean, it's like 6,000 people or something in 2 weekends we'll have. We do a core team training day this year. We're going to partner with a guy named Steve Allgaier, who's local here, and he works for Life Teen. We also do a great service camp over the summer. Tom in our office heads that up, and he does a really great job with it. It's called Project Life. Then we also just started doing a pro-life trip, which is called The Way, the Truth, and the Life. We had our office hadn't been at full staff for a number of years, so they had to cut back on some of the things that they were doing, but we're finally there again, and so we picked up a trip out to the march, which was our first year this year doing that. It was really, really beautiful experience. And then we also do a World Youth Day trip as well. So we're heading to Madrid here in 2011. And outside of that, of course, we do a lot of just smaller things. We do a monthly meeting with youth ministers where we get together and just kind of do some small group stuff and talk about relevant topics with them. I write a blog on our website. Actually, currently am writing a series of blogs on theology of the body right now. So there's a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of really great stuff, and it's really exciting kind of to be in the center of it all and to just be have been given the opportunity to do that work. You know?
Absolutely. I might say to you that our very first Catholic Vitamin show was on the subject of adoration, vitamin A, and we had a priest, Father Mark Rutherford, mm-hmm. from Michigan, who had had a profound Steubenville experience while at adoration that started his reversion back to the faith and ultimately led him to become a priest.
Yeah.
And so have you yourself witnessed, or are there any youth experiences that come to mind from?
It's funny that you mentioned that about Father, because in thinking about that, one of the first experiences I had, I was working for the Diocese of Madison as the director of youth ministry there. I had some really difficult discussions with some youth ministers about adoration and about silence for teens, and then, you know, the necessity of silence and adoration for the human person to really be able to come to know God in an intimate way. And I've had some really difficult discussions about that where, you know, I was told, you know, oh, teens don't want that. They don't need that. It's not what they're interested in. You can't do that with teens, these kind of things. And shortly after that, it should be noted too. I mean, John Paul II, he has said that our relationship with Christ actually, and this is his words, demands times of silence. It demands. That's the word that John Paul II would use. And so when I was going through this, shortly after that, right after that, I actually went to Steubenville in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we went with about 65 or 70 kids on a bus. And we got up there, and this was the summer of 2008. And the Saturday night, they had adoration. And there was about 2,000 teens there. It was dark. And I could just remember for about 20 minutes, it was dead silent. You could hear a pin drop in that room. And I just remember looking around, and I mean, there were 2,000 teens just on their knees, on their face, worshiping Christ in the Eucharist. And I thought to myself, I mean, it was so beautiful. And I just remember thinking, you know, to myself, yeah, I think they might need this,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, man.
Maybe they do want this, you know. And so it was just very powerful for me. And
it actually is a foreshadowing of the topic of dignity that we're going to move into now. You know, teens prostrate before Jesus speaks to the dignity that they really recognize that they have and what they're called to. So it's just beautiful.
Yeah. Right.
On this subject of the Catholic vitamin D, dignity, that we're moving into, I sent you some notes of my thinking. You know, when we have people who think of their own personal dignity. Don't insult me. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there's a lot of available topics on the dignity of the preborn infant in the womb. And there's topics about dignity of the dying. But I know that you have had some work that you've done on the theology of the body area.
Yeah.
Can you take us into your work on dignity and your understanding of it?
Sure. I mean, I think, I definitely think, you know, maybe one of the most important things really to do is to first of all, understand what we mean when we say dignity. When the Church speaks of the inherent dignity of all human persons, she'd say that it's a direct result of their being created by God in His image and in His likeness. And you know, that's kind of always been the constant teaching of the Church. I recently just kind of, I know this is how you found me, but I had written just this little article about it, just to kind of try to, you know, just to open up the discussion with people about it. And to think about that, even though this has always been the councils or the teaching of the Church, we haven't really, I don't think, heard as much about it. A lot of people would probably understand John Paul to really take off with this, but I would say that if you look back at the Second Vatican Council, which for a lot of people is, you know, probably like, wow, that's a long time ago, but the Second Vatican Council, if you look at the documents in that that came from that, and you understand the council, John the 23rd said at the beginning of the council, you know, that this isn't a doctrinal council. We accept the doctrine that has always been taught in the Church. This is an evangelical council. How can we reach out to man in the modern world with the doctrine of the Church in a way that man will understand it and it will fit into his life? And so if you re-look at the documents, Dignitatis Humanae, which is a document on religious freedom, which speaks to the dignity of the human being to pursue the truth about religion. Gaudium et Spes is the document on the Church in the modern world. And the first chapter of Gaudium et Spes is specifically about the dignity of the human person. And so I would say John Paul, Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict, were present there. They really intimately understood what the council was trying to get at. They recognized that the modern world was beginning to see human life in objective terms, in material as material, a person as a material thing. And I think that they so clearly saw that, and their life's work became pastorally implementing what the council, the teachings of the council, what the council was trying to accomplish. And so I would say that as we begin to look at theology of the body, I could, as I look back through the council and everything that kind of happened and seeing John Paul's presence there, that you would see that John Paul understood the council and in a way was just moved by the council to write this beautiful work called Theology of the Body, which, of course, we know theology means the study of God, and the theology of the body is the study of God is revealed through the human body. And so this is what John Paul, this is sort of his response, I would say, to the council in Ottawa. Most of his work was, but this is maybe one of his greatest responses, I think.
Beautiful to just hear your definition of the words theology of the body, the study of God, and God as manifest in our bodies.
Yeah.
What a picture of dignity just those words create.
It's beautiful, yes.
Yeah. Now, you wrote this article, Snapshot of Theology of the Body.
Yeah.
And while dignity is, as you've said, is found in a lot of areas, what were you trying to do with that article, or what does it contain?
I think, you know, for me, there are it's kind of different points in the article, really a brief explanation of where theology of the body comes from, why theology of the body is so needed. And I think that as we become an age of the age that we live in becomes more and more technologically advanced, and we have this tendency to pull away from God and to believe that it's going to be by our own power that we are saved, you know, and that as that begins to happen, we turn so much in on ourselves, and we really lose sight of what is the greatest good, and that is the human person. It isn't the technology that is the greatest good, but it's first of all God, and then the highest person that he, form of life that he's created, in the human person. And so what I was trying to accomplish with this article is really just, you know, to reveal some of that to people, because I think in my experience, you know, talking to people and in evangelization, I find a lot of times people just don't, you know, they haven't heard certain things, they don't know certain things, and it's, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it hasn't been clearly conveyed or whatever. And so for me, just the kind of the idea was just in a brief, just a kind of briefly to open up, you know, who we are as human beings, the importance of the human body, the importance of the communion that we share with God, the Trinitarian love that God wants to share with us, and then just, you know, our hope in our eternal end, our, you know, our journey here is a journey, we're just journeying back to God, you know, at the end, and that to just to sort of kind of open that up a little bit to people and just to let them hear that, because it is so beautiful, I think, really, and it's something that I think a lot of people really haven't been exposed to in a lot of ways.
Sure.
So that's kind of my point with that.
For whatever time you've had to do theology of the body work with young people, how do you find them reacting to it?
I have had really great responses. You know, I first started working with it about 3 years ago, maybe about 3.5, about 2005. 2006 in there. I was working in the first parish that I was working at. I'll just tell you a quick story. And I was teaching a confirmation class one night, and I actually gave a talk on sacramentality of the body and authentic Christian love. And at the end, I talked about a lot of different things, vices, pornography, contraception, all these things. And at the end of the talk, there's about probably 70 or so people there, confirmation kids and their sponsors. And at the end of the class, about 10 kids came up, and the first kid was, I mean, he was about 6'3", weighed about 265, looked like he could bench press a semi full of beef. And I thought to myself, oh, goodness, I hope that I have not irritated this young man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said to me, he said, Mr. Garcia, do you know that stuff that you were saying about love? And I said, yeah, I remember it. He said, I don't, I'm not able to even feel that. Like, for me, I barely have that for my parents right now. And he just went on to tell me about, we talked for a long time, probably for about an hour, and he went on to just tell me about his personal life and the things that he was into, you know, the sexual life that he was leading, the life he was leading, as far as, you know, his participation in alcohol and drugs and things like that. Mm-hmm. And my experience, my personal experience, is that these young people have been searching for authentic witnesses to love and the truth in our culture for a long time, and they're dying to see them and to hear the truth. And when they do, it is so powerful to them, and it moves them, and they want to know more. And they want to learn more, and they really want to experience the freedom that comes from this authentic gift of love that God has for us, that Jesus Christ has for us. So that's kind of been my personal experience with it.
How beautiful. And, you know, in another way, you're saying stick to the basics, the truth, and
right.
That it resonates with young people.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
So I just had a program a few weeks ago where we talked to the author of a book, All Things Guy, and it's a guide for young men ages 9 through about 13,
yeah.
filled with basics. And there's a series out already called All Things Girl, and same sort of thing, and they're finding great reception for these books. They're published by Bezalel Books, in case you'd like to look into them.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you.
Well, we're keeping our eye on the time, and as we move towards a close, I just want to let anybody know, in case you joined us late, that we're talking with Ron Garcia, who's with the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and our general focus is on a vitamin of basics in our faith practice, basics in how we share truth with others. And Ron has been talking about the theology of the body as one area that he speaks to when he's dealing with young people. Are there any books, articles, videos, CDs, or anything that you'd want to recommend?
There are actually there are quite a few books out there. There's a great series called God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage. That's probably a little letter for maybe young adults who are, you know, considering the vocation to marriage, but it'll really help them a lot with that, I think. There's some DVDs called Theology of the Body for Teens that are out there. Theology of the Body for Beginners. There's a great book that's, I think, accessible to teens and young adults. It's a great place to get started. There's also a workbook called Theology of the Body for Teens that could be used if you were doing some work in a parish. I am currently working on a series of kind of blogs that will reflect on the teaching of John Paul II and Theology of the Body. I actually have been started giving a lot a lot of talks around the Archdiocese, so that's something that I'm open to doing as well. So there's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of, I think, Ignatius, let's say it's ignatiuspress.com or something like that. I think they have a lot of the materials for Theology of the Body on their website.
Ron, I will ask that after we have stopped our recorded time, that you send me the links for your blog and your own personal contact information. And if the Archdiocese Youth Office has a Facebook or Twitter account, that we would like to post those in our show notes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So
that would be great.
Do you have any closing thoughts on the topic of basics or some of what we've covered here today?
Yeah, I would just, I think I would just say that a lot of what we're seeing right now happening, I think, in our culture, a lot of the laws, I think, that are being enacted, you know, the healthcare plan, all of these different things are sort of, you know, abortion, the death of marriage. I would say all of these things, we can draw them back really to our own misunderstanding of God's design for our lives and our human dignity. St. Thomas Aquinas said that that man is a microcosm of all of creation, that he has one foot in the material world and another in eternity, and that that through, you know, God, through Christ's gift of grace to us, our very lives, our very beings are changed, you know, and that we are, St. Peter says in his letter, his second letter, that God gave us these great gifts so that we could be lifted up to participate in his divine nature. And that our body is a sign of that. You know, that John Paul II says that that the human body is meant to make visible what is invisible, the spiritual and the divine, and namely that being God. Our bodies are so much they're so much greater than oftentimes we think they are. Our lives and our very beings. And I think that a lot of what we see happening in our culture right now is a product of a fundamental misunderstanding of just how amazing the human person is and how God's design for the human person. So.
Well, great. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Ron Garcia, who's a youth coordinator for the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and sounds to me like an emerging voice of teaching, you know, God's basic ideas and plans for mankind. And we thank you for your time with us today, and we will keep you in our prayers.
Oh, thank you very much, and I will do the same for you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless, Deacon Tom.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our time spent with Ron Garcia, the coordinator of youth ministry for the Archdiocese of St. Louis, Missouri. I enjoyed spending time with him, and I've already started working on the blog page, which contains a number of links that he's given me directly to Ron, in case you'd like to perhaps be in touch with him about a speaking engagement for the youth of your parish or in your diocese. And we have some other links to Ron's blog and other ways that you can find out about their work there.
I enjoyed hearing another of these youth retreat stories concerning adoration.
Amen.
I mean, we have heard so many of them, and a lot of our interview guests over the past, what, 7-8 months have been contained stories like that, and it's so powerful.
It really is. I want everyone to know that I'm still trying to synchronize with Father Mark Rutherford from up in Michigan. He was our first ever guest with a touching and powerful story about his experience at adoration at a Steubenville youth event. And we have exchanged emails were just having trouble getting together at the same place at the same time.
I still remember the day you did that interview, and I was in the other room trying to keep the dogs quiet, remember?
I do.
Way back when. And when you hung up, when I knew the interview was over, I just opened the door and I went, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you had the sound up and I could hear his side of the conversation. And I just thought, oh, what an awesome story.
So powerful. And if you have not listened to Catholic Vitamin A, the first A, we invite you to go back.
I also wanted to comment on Ron's talking about teaching a confirmation class, and where he covered, you know, all those things that are tough to cover with teens, like pornography and contraception, et cetera, et cetera. And, but he feels that the young people are searching for authentic witness to love. Those were his words. And he talked about how many kids came up after he gave his talk at that confirmation retreat.
Neat to hear, for sure. And not a singular time that that's happened. We know that this happens in many places, back in the Archdiocese of Denver and elsewhere. When kids hear truth, some of them are touched to the quick, so to speak.
And we don't know how our guests' stories or how our interviews are touching anyone out there, unless we hear from somebody who actually tells us that a certain program really touched them, or a certain subject really touched them. It just amazes me, though, how many people can be touched that we don't even know about.
Amen. Amen. I do want to say that I've also put on our blog page, dear, because I had promised this earlier, the powerful, very, very powerful prayer for priests, and invoking the dignity that they have as the hands and feet, if you will, of Jesus to bring us the Eucharist. So I invite you to go to our blog page after you've heard this and perhaps print off that prayer, and please consider taking it up daily. Well, I think we have some
feedback, some emails.
Let me start with a real nice one. It made me smile. This came from our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, D. You should be a missionary. We're up to 106 members.
Just since last week when we only had 100. That's wonderful.
I know, awesome. Well, the person that we heard from is Cindy Ellis. She says, I am new to your podcast, but I'm thoroughly enjoying them thus far. I am in Washington State and listen to your podcasts while walking early in the mornings on my treadmill and at work. I hope to continue listening for a long time. God bless, and thank you for a wonderful and entertaining hour of Catholic information. Cindy, you apparently have not been with us very long, but those are the words that may get you in my will.
I don't know if there's room in our will for anybody else the way you're going here.
All right, hang on. Hang in there, Cindy. Thank you.
Hey, we had an email, a short email from Jennifer Larkin. She was our winner for the 2007 talk by Dr. Ralph Martin that he gave at Franciscan University, one of the conferences there. And she said, thank you very much. I received my CD today. What a bright moment in my day. I'm looking forward to listening to it and to the next podcast. Thank you for all you do, Jennifer.
Everybody knows the name, well, most everybody knows the name, Ann Ishikawa. She's been around on the new media circuit for quite a while, and she sent an email. She must have seen something about my allergies. She says, do you know what I've caught? That I've caught something from you, and I'm beginning to say bless you at the end of every conversation. I have caught something too, and I guess she's around people that are sneezing.
But she says not, I don't only say it when they're sneezing.
Yeah, right. She says, I love blessing people, so bless you and your lovely wife, Dee.
I'm not sure it has anything to do with your allergies. I just think it's your
blessing.
You're blessing. You're saying blessings when you end your things. Whatever. Got one here from Susan in Florida. And she says, thanks, Dee. I appreciated the podcast with the author, and I'm thankful for you and Deacon Tom. She's referring to the interview with Cheryl Dickow, who co-wrote All Things Guy. And she was writing to ask if it was too late to get in on that drawing. And it's not.
No.
Still have another week or two if anybody wants to get your name in the basket for a copy of that book, All Things Guy.
It's a great book for young boys, early young men in your life.
We said we'd run this until the end of April.
Got another piece of feedback. We need to move through these fairly quickly, but I do want to continue to honor Father Patrick J. O'Doherty, who has a page on our website, Dee. And we heard from, let's see, Madeline Verrill. I don't know where Madeline lives, but she wrote into Catholic Vitamins, and she said, I want to thank you all who took the time for Father Patrick's talks and sermons. I've enjoyed this more than I can say. Please add more. God bless you all. Madeline Verrill. Well, Madeline, bless you, dear heart. And we're going to try to add a new Father O'Doherty talk or sermon or homilette each time we post a new show.
Well, when we put out about your, or when I put out about your accident with your fingers.
Oh, you're going to bring that up now.
I think one of the first person that I let know was Lisa Hendy.
Oh, yeah.
And she wrote back and she goes, yikes, what happened to my favorite deacon? Take care, mister. We need those hands for keyboarding, podcasting, and saving souls.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. And speaking of somebody that needs a little bit of prayer and help, our good friend Mary Ward from back east in, I think she's New York, New Jersey.
I think it's New York.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom, and someone else. Since last November, I've had hip bursitis and then a flare-up of my herniated discs, which led to sciatic nerve inflammation.
And I think she said PT was making it worse, so she's laid off of PT and it was starting to feel a little bit better, but she just sounds like she's really having a rough time, so keep Mary in your prayers.
Yeah, and I think I'd like to make a point on that. Friends of Catholic Vitamins means we're friends and sort of family in a e sense, an internet sense, and if you have any prayer intentions, please send them to us or call them into our feedback line. And we'd be happy to broadcast those, to ask those who hear them to pause for a moment and honor your prayer.
I have one more short one here, and it came from Chris Weitzel. He said, if you and Deacon Tom end up going to CNMC, which stands for Catholic New Media Celebration, we could take advantage of your longstanding babysitting offer.
Oh. You know what might happen? If we went there, we might wind up spending the whole conference babysitting.
I know. That's what I wrote back to him. And I said, well, based on how many people that Deacon Tom has been saying that to, we might have to have a... Well, he wrote back and said we could set up a babysitting corner.
How about a booth? And then we could charge for it. We could raise money. What do you think? I don't know. All right. Well, we will be back. All right, we're back for our quick closing segment. What have we got here, Dee?
We got some new Facebook friends.
Okay.
I've got Catholic Come Home, Arianda Quijano. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Divine Twine and Peggy Bowes. And I think you also have Divine Twine and Peggy Bowes.
Yeah, I do. And also Deacon Sam Nasudi and Emilio Viles Gonzalez and Sister Humbeline and Castillo Nubia. And Tina Maher. I'm trying to reach Tina Maher. And I also got on Plurk connected with RTI.
And I think that's Ann Ishikawa, I think.
Well, as we come to our wrap, friends, I'd just like to revisit that we are not one of the big-time podcasts, but we are firmly committed to our Catholic faith. We're firmly committed to conversion, reversion, having real zeal in our faith practice. And that word zeal reminds us of Mark Nierbus, who was our Catholic Vitamin Z guest for zeal. He's with Franciscan University. And we found a quote that reminded us of Mark. D has it here in front of us.
And this was off of our Madonna House calendar. Real zeal is standing still and letting God be a bonfire in you.
Amen. Amen.
That can be our vitaminate.
Oh, that's great. Hey, that is good. Well, friends, our feedback number is 206-350-3789. It doesn't ring into our house, so you can call at any time. Call and leave a suggestion, a prayer request, a need, or just to say hi. We'd love to hear from you.
And, or email us at catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
Right. Well, I think we're at the end, and we are ready for our Vita Scrabble, which works which way, Dee? Go ahead. First letter, last letter. I'm telling you, folks.
He has to retrain me every time.
How does it work?
We're going to give you a clue for the next vitamin. We're going to give you the first letter and the last letter and tell you how many letters are in the word. And you are welcome to take guesses and as many guesses as you like. And the correct guesses will go in a basket and we'll draw for a winner.
Right. And the winner receives a famous legendary Catholic Vitamins sweet treat. And why do we do that, Dee?
Because our faith is a sweet gift from God.
Thank you. Amen. How many is this? 30 what? All right.
So the next
Catholic vitamin
clue is
it begins with
E.
Yes.
Ends with T.
Uh huh.
Has 9 letters.
This is called a slam dunk.
Easy.
So starts with E. It will be our next vitamin.
Ends with T.
9 letters.
9 letters.
And if you get this one, your name will go into a basket and D will pull it. And you'll receive a couple of nice things from Catholic Vitamins. Dee, that's it?
I think so.
We are so happy you were with us. We pray for you, and that is true. We pray for you regularly. Please pray for us.
Well, before we go, I wanted to play some feedback from Gabriella, who called in on our feedback number. Gabriella from Texas.
Hi, Deacon Tom. This is Gabriella from Corpus Christi. I just finished listening to your podcast on letter C for conversations and your wonderful interview with Margot. I got great ideas from her as to how to keep conversation in my prayer life, but I also would like to give some input. Throughout the years, I've been very blessed to have different individuals in my walk with the Lord teaching me the importance of a prayer life, of having time daily to be before the Lord, and to learn conversational prayer. One of the things that I love to do is use the attributes of God to express my praise to Him. And I've realized that as Catholics, you know, we're required in our formation to learn, you know, formal prayers. You know, when you go to catechism, the kids have to know their Our Father, their Hail Mary, different prayers before they make their first communion. But I don't think we have emphasized enough the beauty of expressing with your own words how much you love the Lord, how much you want to spend time with Him, and just talk to Him like if He was just a regular friend, like I'm talking out to you on the phone. So in my experience teaching women how to, you know, express their feelings and emotions to the Lord, I have used the attributes, again, because someone else taught that part of it to me. You know, like if you're seeing a beautiful sunset, you say, Lord, I praise you for your creation. You are the creator of the whole world. And just that thought will lead you into something else. Thank you for creating me. I praise you for bringing something out of nothing. If you see an accident that was just about to happen, or you almost hit a car, and you go, oh, Lord, I praise you that I was not hit because you protected me. You're the protector. When the paycheck comes in, Lord, I praise you because you're the provider through the means of my husband making money. And I think that, you know, there is a difference between praise and thanksgiving. Praise is adoring Him for who He is. And thanksgiving is for what He has done for us. And boy, has He done many things for us. But my experience has been, you know, that sometimes I think the thing that we do the most is ask Him constantly. And we forget that He deserves all our praise and worship. I have a funny story to my brother-in-law's family. It's a very loving, committed Catholic family. And they use the traditional formal prayer to bless the food before we eat. And at my home, we're more spontaneous. And many years ago, I remember one time when we had blessed the food because they were visiting our home. But we didn't use the formal prayer of the church, you know, bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts, and so on. And I noticed that my nephews and nieces were looking at their dad like, well, you know, they didn't bless the food. And I said to them, you know, we just bless the food. It's okay. You can start eating. And they very quietly whispered the formal prayer by themselves. And at first I thought, you know, it's the same. But yet, if we don't teach them, if we don't say, you know, both are precious prayers, formal and conversational, you know, we will enrich our life. So anyway, I think I have talked enough, but thank you so much for your podcast, and greetings from Corpus Christi. Bye-bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
I go to sleep with you on my mind, and I try to think of all the times we've had, but it's not enough to know that unless you pull through, we know that it's hard, hard. And so I'll say